Okay, class, good evening. We're going to try to wrap it up today. You've been a good class this year, and I hope we got some things clear that you can understand and kind of sum up this entire lesson and summarize this book and so we can have a proper understanding of the whole purpose of what we've been trying to do and what we've been trying to accomplish through these few weeks that we've been teaching. It's impossible to teach everything in this book, but also I need to be able to give you what you have, a clear understanding of authority, a clear understanding of how we're supposed to function in authority. Now, this lesson here is going to be dealing with being one in authority, the primary credentials for being in authority. We've learned how to be under authority. Now, we're going to take a few moments in this class to see how to be in authority, the characteristic of one being in authority. What should be some of the ingredients in me to be an authority that God can be satisfied with, that God can get his will done and carry out his will upon the earth? When my pastor delegated me some authority, how am I supposed to carry it out? How am I supposed to be able to deal with situations and circumstances? Things that come up, things that rise up. One thing I said, just make sure we're not the problem. That was one of my desires. Whenever I would delegate authority, I said, Lord, just don't let me be the problem. Let me be a problem solver and I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to keep my apostle or my spiritual leader, my pastor, from being able to accomplish God's will with satisfaction and with peace of mind. Yeah, your spiritual leader, you need to be able to function with a peace of mind. When he puts you in a position of authority, you need to have a peace of mind. You need to be able to go out of town with a peace of mind and be able to just release authority to you with a peace of mind. Not a peace of mind and not you trying to undermine. Oh, that came out good. It came out so good. I didn't plan that to come out like that. But a peace of mind without you trying to undermine. You know, people do that. You know, delegate authority. Sometimes they don't understand authority, and sometimes they still haven't died totally. And they if you don't watch it, Satan will call them to try to undermine your spiritual leader. Don't let that spirit ever come upon you, that you can do better, say better, think better, treat better. No, never in a million years. No, don't let that even thought even come up to you. No. But listen, here's one of the credentials. I got to use God's servant Moses, because Moses pastored, some say, I use the word pastor, but he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it's almost like he was pastoring because he had a congregation of people. And almost like he was the pastor of one of the largest churches that ever existed. Because he had every walk of people, and the church considered every walk of people, different lifestyles, different background. I mean, he had a whole variety of, he had the Reubenites, he had all these, he had all these different tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, and all of them were different. The Levites, he had to pastor, he had to lead all these people. The Edomites, you name them, if I could think of all of them came out of the lineage of Jacob and Israel. Israel was Jacob. Jacob and the lineage of Moses, the 12 tribe, the Esau family, they all was part of this thing here. So now he's trying to pastor these people, and he had to have a certain characteristic to be over these people. God trained him for over 40 years in the wilderness on the backside of the mountain, prepping him, getting his heart right, helping with his father-in-law, with the sheaves and the sheep and just training him, showing him something, breaking him down, building him up, breaking him down, and building him up, and breaking him down. But just when you think you arrived, God got to break you down again. Sometimes you think, well, tell Lord, how many tests I'm going to take? Because God got to keep breaking us down and building us up. And just when you think you arrived, God break us down again and something else, and then build us up again. What are you doing? He preparing your heart. Don't you get discouraged because you get broken down. Because God's trying to build you up again. He got to break you down in this area. See, every promotion got to get a different breaking. Every time you God used a little bit more, you got to get broken down some more. And so if you build up some more, it got to be a different revelation you got to get in your heart about serving. There's so many different levels of serving. And as you experience, God got to go to some heart. You got to go to some heart operation. Every level, it's a different heart operation. And so Moses had to experience some things on the backside of this mountain. And one of the main credentials for being an authority, put it down in your note, is revelation. You must have a revelation of God to you, from God to you, from the man of God to you, from the vision, from God to the man of God to you. You have to have divine understanding. So one credential here under revelation is do not listen to slanderous words. Why? Because in authority, you're going to hear a lot of stuff. You're going to hear a lot of stuff being said, a lot of voices. And you got to have some discernment within these voices. And you can't let these voices penetrate you. You got to get thick skin. Thick skin spiritually. So none of these things will move you. And you know how to not be moved by your feeling and by your flesh and not be emotionalized and get yourself offended. And because Moses had to deal with all these things, I mean, his whole family came against him. You got to be ready for family to leave you. Family to, I've been through a lot of things. I've been through family just telling me different things and try to pull me away, but I wouldn't let him because mine was made up that I'm gonna do what the Lord want me to do. So do not listen to slander of word. Now they questioned Moses, do you alone speak for God? You who have married a Cushite woman, had God not spoken unto us? How can the seed of Shem married to a seed of Ham continue in God's ministry? Can we not minister? That was Miriam. Miriam and Aaron were talking to their brother. Can we not minister? Yeah, they could minister. But they wasn't sent to minister. You see it? It was as if Moses had never heard a word to say. We find a man who could not be touched by men's word, for he was beyond the reach of slanderous words. You got to get beyond it. You got to get beyond the reach of slanderous words because they're going to approach you and you're going to hear them. And they're going to try to pull you to another way. All who desire to be God's spokesman and desire to help the brothers and sisters must learn not to listen to slander. Let God do the listening. Let God do the listening. On your part, do not pay any attention to how people criticize you. Do not get angry because of others' words. You see, Moses had a lot of opportunity to get angry. And, you know, get ready for criticism. Let it roll off your back like water on the duck back. You can't let nothing stop you. Oh, they're going to say all kinds of things about you. They're going to say you weak. They're going to say you crazy. They're going to say you stupid for doing what you're doing. They're going to say all kinds of things about you. But I tell you what, have tough skin and let it run off your back like water on the duck back. Remember I told you that. You see it? Those who are disturbed and overwhelmed by words of slander prove themselves unfit to be delegated authority. I'm going to read that one more time. See, we got to get these things. These things got to be a part of you. Those who are disturbed, you can't be disturbed. You can't be offended by sister so-and-so, what sister so-and-so said. You can't be offended by what brother so-and-so said. You know, because their opinion might be overlooking your position of authority. And then they want to do what they want to do. You can't get disturbed. You can't get disturbed. And remember, in authority, and when you're delegated, a correction can't come from you. Correction got to come from the top. You see it? That's why Michael in the book of Jude would not correct the angel Michael, would not correct Satan. You see it? Because equal cannot correct equal. God got to make the difference. You see it? Yeah, you prove if you can't handle Are you overwhelmed by slanderous words? You prove that you're not unfit to be delegated authority. You flunk test number one. Question number one. Here's the next thing. Make no self-defense. Don't try to defend yourself. You know why? Because it's not about you. It's not about you. Vindication or defense or whatever reaction there may be should come from God. Any reaction, any vindication, not from man. He who vindicates himself does not know God. No one on earth could ever be more authoritative than Christ, yet he never defended himself. Authority and self-defense are incompatible. You see it? Authority and self-defense are incompatible. You can't compare the two. The one against whom you defend, oh, listen to this. The one against whom you defend yourself becomes your judge. Say it again. The one in whom you defend yourself becomes your judge. And that's why. That's why. Don't answer your critics. Don't try to defend yourself while you're doing what you're doing. Because they're gonna begin the Lord. When you defend yourself, you're going to find yourself in their hands. You have just submitted yourself to them. Because you tried. No, just let it be so. Let God defend. Don't answer your critic. Don't try to respond to every statement they make. Don't argue with them. No, just keep your mouth shut like Moses did sometimes. Keep your mouth shut like Jesus did sometimes. Jesus wouldn't answer. Are you the king of the Jews? The Bible says Jesus didn't even open his mouth. Jesus didn't try to vindicate who he was. You see, he just kept his mouth shut. Sometimes we talk too much and we give our own self away. We just like that parakeet. That parakeet just can't stay quiet. You just gotta always say something. No, you ain't gotta always say nothing. Don't ever try to defend yourself, because they're gonna become your judge. He rises higher than you when you begin to answer his criticism. You see it? Don't you do it. I hope I'm helping somebody. Don't you do it. Don't answer their criticism. Don't answer their dumb question that they ask you sometimes. Well, why are you not doing? Don't answer it. Just act like you never heard them. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Just don't lift your head up to stop working. You see? Yep, you keep doing what you're doing. Sometimes it's a lonely life. You see? But that's okay. You're serving God, and God rewards you openly. God will reward you openly. When you do that, I say it again, God will reward you openly. Amen. He who speaks for himself is under the judgment. Therefore, he who is without authority. Whenever one tries to justify himself, yeah, you need to write this down, because this is going to be a test question. Whenever one just tries to justify himself, he loses authority. Whenever one tries to justify himself, he loses authority. Let God justify you. Owe no man nothing but the loving. You don't owe no man no explanation. You don't owe nobody any explanation for what you do. You see, as long as you're pleasing God. Paul stood before the Corinthian believers as a delegated authority. Yet he said, I judge not my own self. 1 Corinthians 4:3. Vindication comes from God. The moment you justify yourself before a person, he becomes your judge. As soon as you try to explain, you are falling before him. What does that mean, falling before him? You become submitted to his authority, to him. He becomes the Lord over you then. And then you become weak and helpless. No. You gave your authority away when you're trying to defend yourself. You know why? Because you don't have all the answers to everything. And Satan put you out there to trap you with his words. So just keep quiet. Just keep quiet. Now, another qualification is very meek. One of the first ones is not answering slanderous words. You see it? The one after that, the slanderous word, it makes no self-defense for yourself. This third one here, the third point is a characteristic of being very meek. Now, I didn't say very weak. Some people think meekness is weakness. But one definition of meekness is power under harness, power under control. You see it? Yeah, I have authority, but I got it under control. You see it? You see it? You see, it's just like having a fast car, but you got your foot on the accelerator. And you got a lot of power, but I ain't got to use it every time I leave off. No, but I know when I need it, I got it. Same thing with you, with meekness. You know, it's boldness under harness. You see it? Boldness under control. So don't let nobody push your button. Don't let nobody make you do what you don't want to do. Don't let nobody make you respond differently from who you are. They try to take you out of your character and make you somewhere else. They try to get you angry. They try to get you upset. They try to get you to sin against God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Verse 2 of number 12 recalled that God heard slander, and verse 4, that God took action. But in between comes verse 3 as a parenthetic statement. The man Moses was very meek. That's one of Moses' high characteristics that caused God to use him like he did, because God knew Moses' heart. Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. What a statement. Moses was very meek, the Bible says. God said Moses very meek above all the men upon the face of the earth. You mean God's faith, God touched all the men upon the face of the earth before he got to Moses? God got the ability to do that. He searched some people before he got to you. I wasn't God's first charge. You're not God's first charge doing what you're doing. He looked all over before he chose Moses. Above all the men of the face of the earth. See, God had to go to some people before he got to Moses. You see, it took a special person to deliver the children of Israel and deal with all these characteristics, all these different attitudes, all these different personalities, all these grumbling, all these. You got three people in your family, you can't handle them. And you see what I'm saying? Because everybody's different. Everybody wants something different. And you can't please everybody. No, this is what we eating. When I was growing up, and I said, you couldn't see, I grew up with 11 sisters and brothers. But being the last one, some of them had got out the house by the time I started to get a little older. And my mom would cook. My dad said, boy, you eat it or lay by it. Now, y'all might not understand what that statement meant, eat it or lay by it. In other words, if you get hungry enough, you're going to get up and eat it. Yeah, so we couldn't be picking and choosing what we want, because my dad knew all of us were different. You got to eat what your mama cooked, boy. And she, I ain't cooking no all these different meals just to satisfy you. So Moses could not come to understanding that he couldn't do everything, and God wasn't going to do everything to satisfy all these people. Either you eat the manna that's falling on the ground, or you don't eat at all. Manna. What for supper? Manna. What for supper tomorrow? Manna. What for supper next week? Manna. 40 years from now, it was manna. So God was teaching them obedience, how to eat what he put before you, how to walk before you and become consistent with God. That's to teach consistency. Keep doing the same thing. Finally, you're going to get it right. Finally, you're going to get a recipe for that manna that's going to change everything. You see it? You see it? Some of them got smart. They made different recipe with the manna. You just keep eating the same old manna, but no, gosh, you better get creative with this manna and do something you never did before with it. So get you out of your little comfort zone. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to respond properly when it comes to God. And you got to be very meek. And God ain't gonna put up with your unmeekness, because he checked your meekness out by his spirit. So you wasn't the first one we find out. All the men upon the face of the earth, Moses the meekest. Moses did not strive because he realized he had error. God cannot appoint a stiff-necked person to authority. What? Stiff-necked person. Don't know how to be wrong. Some people don't know how to be wrong. They don't want to be wrong, but they don't know how to respond when they're wrong. You want to be right? You're not going to be right all the time. Be wrong sometimes. Just be wrong. That's the trouble with a lot of marriages sometimes. I don't mean to go there, but sometimes you just don't want to be wrong. You think everything you say is right. No, everything you say ain't right. Be meek enough to say, look, I'm wrong. Yeah. He will not delegate authority to be an arrogant person. Those whom he set up in authority are the meek and the tender, and this is not ordinary meekness. This is the meekness of God. We're not talking about ordinary worldly meekness. This is something God put into your innermost being, something that God put in your spirit, something that God put in your DNA that make you who you are. And God had to have that special person that not going to bend under anything and let nobody pull their string. Don't let nobody pull your string. Now, what are we talking about? How the qualification of being authority now? You see it? We should never try to establish our own authority. You know, if God backing you, you don't have to make people do things. All right. Is that what you want to do? All right. God going to deal with you then. And my job is just to tell you what to do. You see it? You can't make a person do. If you supervision, you can't make people do nothing. No. You get paid to tell them what to do. If they don't want to do what you tell them to do, then they got to respond to somebody else. Because it's not your job to correct them. Your job is to give them orders. And whether they obey or not, they're going to have to just take them to the next level. Well, I say take them to the next level of authority. The law said that his kingdom is not of this world, and that therefore his servant need not to fight for him. You see it? Jesus never defended himself. His meekness wouldn't let him. He wouldn't fight. He didn't have to fight for himself. When you're in authority, God fights your battle. Authority attained through fighting is not what is given by God. That's another kind of authority. If you got to fight your way to, if you got to fight while you're in authority, you got to fight to keep it. You got to fight to do this. It ain't God authority. You ain't got to try to hold on to authority if you submitted to God and God your authority and God appointed you. You don't have to try to hold on to it. God will defend your authority. God said, this battle is not yours. You stand back and watch the salvation of the Lord. God said, look, I'm going to consume them in a minute. God said, hold up, Moses. You ain't got to do nothing. Yeah, you're praying. You don't want me to do this. But look, you stand back and let me do what I'm supposed to do. Let me consume these people in a minute. I ain't got time to put up with their foolishness. I ain't got time. I got to get this job done. Those that don't want to go, let them stay. But those that want to go, come on, let's go. We ain't putting up with all these people foolishness. And that's authority. Sometimes authority might seem cold sometimes. But sometimes God might seem cold sometimes. Because God don't mess around when it comes to his will and his business. You either in or out, or you're going to get run over. Is that cold? No, that's authority. That God getting his will done upon the earth. That God said, make up your mind who you're going to follow. That was Joshua said. Joshua said, make up your mind today whom you're going to follow. But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua said, I ain't making you do nothing. Make up your own mind who you're going to follow. Joshua said, I'm saying this and I'm leaving you alone. I'm going about with my family. I'm going to sleep good tonight. I'm not going to lay in bed all night. See, leaders, you can't lay in bed all night wondering what the outcome is going to be like when people don't do right. No, they make their own decision. They make their own mind. They do what they want to do, and they're going to stand for the correcting the judgment themselves. They're going to stand their own judgment. So don't lose no sleep. Yeah, apostle, I learned that from apostle. He deal with it, and he go on. He said, Ron, I deal with that, then I'm deal with that. That's between them and God after that. You deal with it, and you move on. You can't carry everybody's burden. You can't carry everybody's load. You can't carry everybody heartache. You can't carry everybody pain. You can't carry everybody wound. You can't carry everybody dissatisfaction. You can't carry it. You carry that upon the Lord. Say, Lord, I did what you told me to do. And look, next thing. I remember years ago, I buried the first person, apostle said, at my first funeral, that was years ago, over 30 years ago. My first funeral, and I soloed. I'm used to going with apostle, you see. He would go there and he would give me a part to read. I would read a part. He would read a part. But this time he said, Ron, I'm not coming with you. So you got it. I said, oh, Lord, what in the world am I going to do that? And but I did okay until I got to the part where I deposited the body into the ground. You know, when I gave the command to deposit the body in the ground, I said, Lord, my word called these people not to see their loved one anymore. And that thing stuck, like part of me went down in that grave with them. And you know, I guess I didn't know how to separate. He was teaching me, Apostle was teaching me how to separate. And so when I came in the midst, he saw that load on me. I was carrying that because I was burdened. He said, Ron, let me tell you something. He said, that's one of these people's family members that you buried. We got many more family members we want to deal with. So you got to toughen up, son. I said, yes, sir. You got to toughen up. You can't carry that load. Carry that thing on the Lord, boy. Boy, I learned that a long time ago. I learned it early. And then I didn't get so happy to go look. I said, mortician, do your job. And I'm done. I almost got two. You know what I'm trying to say. It was a job. But you can't show in front of people that it's a job. You got to mourn with them that mourn, weep with them that weep. But when you go to your home, you go to your house, your separate places, you got to cast that. You can't carry that home in your living room. You can't carry that with your family members. You can't carry that with your wife in bed at night. No, you got to cast that and keep on moving. When you do counseling session, you can't take that burden. You can't take this marriage of separation. You think when somebody, I used to pray for people in the hospital, and every time I pray, somebody like they die. I said, Lord, I got like I'm killing people every time I pray. And I had to learn. I said, I thought I had a ministry of killing people. And so I had to learn. I had to carry this stuff on the Lord. You know, I had to deal with it. Lay hands on them and then learn between them and God. When I pray for them, if they don't catch a hold of with their faith, that they're still going to be with the Lord. And I said, but I had to learn that. It wasn't easy, but I learned it. And then because I had to carry stuff, and the apostle helped me so much when I had to learn that I had to separate myself from these things. Authority, when you got delegated authority, you better know some things. You got to have wisdom too. You got to have plenty of wisdom. You see it? And I knew these people had to see the love, you see, that you have for them. And they have to respect me, apostle. You have to respect me through apostle. Sometimes you always want an apostle to be there. But they have to respect you like respect apostle. But I always kept apostle name up front. I always kept his name in my mouth whenever I did anything. And whenever I go to the hospital, I say, apostle sent me to come lay hands on you. I never say, I'm Reverend Ronald Gotro. I come to lay hands on you to get you up. Yeah, because I got a strong anointing. I say, I come with the apostle's anointing. You see it? I know it was God's anointing and through apostle, but I was representing him. I never represented myself. Don't you go trying to represent yourself when your apostle or your pastor send you out. No, you're representing him. And so when they see you, they see him. They're not seeing Ronald. They're not seeing whoever you are. They're seeing him. And I would say, I come on his behalf. He sent me to come see about you. He concerned about you. And he told me to share these scriptures with you. I didn't come with a whole my own notes and like I'm all high and mighty, like I'm the man. No, I'm not the man. I'm only a servant that got sent to help bear your burden. You see, you got to learn that. You got to catch that. You got to catch that. You got to catch that. You see, some things can't be taught. You got to be caught. And so Moses was God's man, and thank God for Moses. Oh, thank God for Moses. To be authority. Hold up, let me read this now. People usually assume such things as the following to be necessarily requirement for an authority. I'm going to read this again because this is very important. You got to catch this. People usually assume such things as the following I'm about to show you to be the necessary requirement for an authority. Splendor and magnificence. See, I told you don't go in your own splendor and magnificence. Strength of personality. These are not the qualities God talking about. Bearing or appearance and power. To be an authority, the reason one must possess a strong determination, clever idea, and eloquent lip. But it's not these things that represent authority. Instead, they stand for the flesh. Oh my goodness. See, that's all the things I was just describing just now. Don't you go try to be a Superman. Don't you go try to act on your own accord. Don't you go try to be like someone that to represent themselves. No, then you only represent the flesh. I go weak and trembling under the authority of my spiritual leader, saying, I'm not even trying to use my anointing here. I'm not trusting my anointing to get this thing done. I'm going to lay my hand with the anointing that God placed on my apostle or my pastor, and I'm putting my hand upon you with that anointing in mind, and you receive like you're receiving it straight from his hand. You see, and most people, they can connect with you. You can help them. But if you go like you somebody, they're going to say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who the heck are you? No, you better go with somebody. You better listen to what I'm saying. And don't try to be some super spiritual person. Oh, brother, so-and-so, he's so anointed. No, don't give me that. Them accolades. Nope, you can get in trouble because these things get in your head. These things get in your head, I said. Look, so at that time, talking about Moses now, God did not appoint him as an authority. It was only after he had passed through many trials and had been dealt with by God, only after he had become very meek, more than all the men on the earth, that God used him to be an authority. You see it? You see it? Sometimes, let me say this, people don't like this. You ain't gonna like what I'm about to say now. But sometimes God got to correct you in the presence of everybody. You don't like that? You know what that do? That put more meekness in you. But if you handle that wrong, you get offended, I'm not going to that ministry no more. And you don't get to take the test, take the whipping, take the correction, then God will never make you what you ought to be. You learn these little lessons I'm telling you. God is trying to get some things in you so he can use you profoundly like he wants to use you as a servant of God. Yeah, he got to correct you before others. I remember this pastor was in school and the apostle was teaching one class. This is years ago, 20 years ago. Might be longer than that, 20 years ago. This pastor came into class. I don't know why he was late. But you came running in there. And then apostle said, why are you late? He didn't even get a chance to answer. He said, sit down, and open your book. Boy, I look at the man's face. Boy, he was dying on the inside and dying on the outside. And then back then, he came to me one day after another class. He was hurt. He was crying. This pastor was crying. He had to die to some things so God can make him what he wanted to be. God got to put stuff even in pastors. And that's why I knew he, apostle, always apostolic, always putting things in men, putting things in people's heart so they can know him better, get close to him better. He said, if God hadn't called me here, that was what the pastor said. If God hadn't called me here, I wouldn't be here no more. I said, he called you here. Amen. Now, at the end of my conversation, I wasn't going to try to pacify him or saying, apostle shouldn't have did that publicly. No, he needed that whipping. I almost want to say he needed that tail whipping, but I don't see that kind of stuff in class. Amen. Now, here's another. Let me go back to this one now. I got 5 minutes left, Claire. 5 minutes. I got to get this one here in you because I started out with revelation. Revelation is the one credential of authority. Oh, this is going to sum up the whole sum of the matter. Oh, why you do what you do? I got a revelation from God. Why you are the way you are? A revelation from God. And it's rare. Why? Because many people don't catch it. It's rare when you get a revelation from the Lord. Because many people, they confront it, but they don't really catch it. they confront it and try to flaunt it, but it's not within their heart. Oh, it got to be birthed in you. That this revelation of serving got to be birthed in you. Then God can finally trust you with some stuff. I was reading this Bible the other day when Moses went up to God, called him up on Mount Sinai to give him the tablets of stone. He said, Josh, you come on with me. Aaron didn't go. And I think Hur was with him. Hur, H-U-R, Hur. Hur didn't go. Hur had stayed on there with the people. But he called Joshua to come with him. Now, I didn't see that before. But evidently, Joshua had some qualities he picked up from Moses. Some things he picked up from Moses through the year, following Moses closely. That's why at the end, God looking for somebody, God had to appoint Joshua to be the man. Joshua. Yeah, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee, he told Joshua. Oh, what a transfer. Read that sometime. Read that sometime, how God transferred that authority from Moses to Joshua. Oh, you ought to read that. So let's read this credential. I got 3 minutes and 46 seconds. And Jehovah spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam. Come out, ye three, unto the tent of the meeting. Suddenly mean unexpectedly. Aaron and Miriam may have spoken against Moses many times, but now abruptly God called the three of them to the tent of the meeting. You see, God says, this is the straw that break the camel back. See, God's so long-suffering. You see? And many whom rebel against authority do so outside the tent. It is very easy and convenient to criticize at home. Even so, everything will be cleared up in the tent of meeting. As the three came to the tent, the Lord spoke to Aaron and Miriam, Hear now my word. In the past they had murmured, had Jehovah indeed spoken only with Moses? Now the Lord asked them to come out and hear this word. Revealing. Revelation. See, this was a revelation. Revealing what? God had to put some things in them. God had to give them a revelation. Revealing the fact that they had never before heard God's word. You see it? Aaron and Miriam had never known what God was saying. This was the first time the Lord spoke to them, and it was not in revelation, but in reproof. Oh, my goodness. They never heard God boy before. They thought they heard God. They must have ate too much the night before and thought they heard God. But this is the first time, and he didn't bring a revelation to them, but he brought a correction that turned them inside out. Not the manifestation of God's glory, but the judgment of their conduct. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. I hope you hear me, Claire. God said, hear now my words. Meaning, not only had the Lord not spoken before, but that furthermore, he was indicating that he wanted to be allowed to speak this once, since they had already been speaking for so many days. Class, that's the farthest I can go with this lesson. Well, I'm going to sum it up with these words. That for you to get to the place where God wants you, there has to be some revelation that only God can give you to take you to some place you've never been before, to allow you to be in the presence of people you've never been before. But God, it don't happen automatically. God has to do it by precept and principle and example. So, my classes, follow your spiritual leader wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly and of a good and a true heart. And I tell you what, and do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Class, you've been a good class. You've been a good year. And I want to thank you for listening so good to me. May the Lord bless you and you have a great rest of the year.